Seattle's Morning News. I'm Chris Sullivan, sitting in for Dave Ross today. And joining us in the studio is Mike Salk, the one and only fabulous sports reporter from our sister station, 710 ESPN Seattle, and our producer, David Burbank. So, Mike, obviously free agency this week. Some big news, with some losses, some gains. I think everyone's now talking about our new backup quarterback.
That does seem to be on the list of discussions today. Sam Howell is his name. And he's been with Washington the last couple of years, started every game for them last year. They weren't very good, but he started every game for them last year. He threw more passes than any quarterback in the league last year. He also threw more interceptions than any quarterback in the league last year with 21. So that's not necessarily a positive. What he is a guy with a big, strong arm. He is willing to make a lot of throws into tight windows that other quarterbacks won't. He's mobile. He's young, and he's supposed to be very coachable and a good leader, but he's not been particularly effective, right? He's not won a lot, and more than that, he's not made particularly great decisions. I mentioned that he led the league in interceptions. He also led the league in sacks. So, you know, those two things, while not entirely indicative of the decision-making process, will tell you that sometimes he holds on to the ball too long, and sometimes when he throws it when he shouldn't.
Well, it sounds like a perfect candidate to sit under Geno, maybe a little bit, and from what I remember, he threw the ball pretty well against us.
He did,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, he looked okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's not a bad quarterback. He's got some significant upside, and he's got some significant risk associated with him. They're not giving up a tremendous amount to get him, but, you know, taking your third and fifth round picks and giving them to Washington for a fourth and sixth round, you know, that's a pretty big step down in a draft that is supposed to be pretty top heavy towards the first 2 days. So, you know, look, we'll see where it goes. In talking to people in Washington that I know, they think he could be a starting quarterback in the NFL. Could he be a franchise quarterback in the NFL? That might be a much bigger leap. So, all right, what are the Seahawks doing? Do they have a plan to eventually find a quarterback that can lead them for years to come? My assessment of what happened yesterday with Sam Howell is that they must have determined that was not going to be possible in this year's draft, either because they don't like any of the quarterbacks enough or because they think the ones they like are all going to be gone by the time they have an opportunity.
Because what, their first pick is what, 16?
They're at number 16, and you know, they're not going to get one of the first three guys. They're going to go 1, 2, 3. The question was, could they be able to get J.J. McCarthy, who they may like and who Mike McDonald was around at Michigan? And, you know, I think a few weeks ago, the thought was, yeah, maybe you could get him at 16 or maybe even trade up a little bit to get him. But as you look at things, it sure sounds like he may be going in the top 6 to 8. And if that's the case, you don't have a second round pick. Very difficult to package something to move up high enough to select him.
So what else are you looking at this week in free agency? Obviously, we lost Bobby. We brought in another linebacker yesterday. We lost our safeties. I mean, what else? What kind of raises up to the level of you going, okay, what's your assessment really of the first week?
Well, I wrote about it this morning. If you have some time, you can go to mynorthwest.com/sports and you can read it, or just go to seattlesports.com. It's the same thing. Did you know that?
Yeah, I'm aware.
What a total scam. Like both websites go to exactly the same place.
We're a multimedia platform now that happens to have radio stations attached.
Yeah, it's a total scam. So you can go to either seattlesports.com or mynorthwest.com/sports and you can read what I wrote, because I'm trying to figure out what all this means. Why are they, you know, I understand why they shed the guys they shed. The safeties were overpaid. Bobby Wagner, as much as everybody loves him, one of the world's great human beings and has been one of the great players. You know, it was time for them to move on and do something new and younger at that position. That's fine. They've saved a lot of money by doing a lot of the moves they've made. But the guys they've brought in, look, for the most part, they've only brought in two starters. Right. They brought in a safety and a linebacker, which they had to do. Everybody else they've brought in has been a backup, and they retained a couple of starters as well. But I'm trying to figure, does that mean that they are on the verge of contention and they think that their nucleus is great and they just need some work around the edges? That doesn't feel right. Does it mean that they think that they are nowhere close to contention and they're trying to just muddle through a year, maybe get closer to the bottom and then rise up like the Texans are probably going to do this year as they've totally turned their program around? That doesn't sound like something John Schneider really wants to do or a new head coach would be interested in. Or are they just waiting and free agency isn't that important to them? They see other ways and means to help them build this team.
So. Well, I think if we've learned anything in John Schneider, we trust.
Yes.
Pretty much. I mean, as you go forward, I would think I think most people believe he's doing. Maybe that's an outsider's look. Is you a little more critical of Schneider?
No, I mean, I don't know that I say in anybody we trust. I mean, that I guess just like you don't say in the government we trust, in the DOT we trust. Like, I don't know.
I'm a shill for the Department of Transportation. That, yes. Yeah, that's really what I am.
I'm not a big in anybody we trust. We people deserve the benefit of the doubt, certainly, and John would be on that list. Guy's won a Super Bowl, been to another, made a lot of great decisions in his career. But, you know, this is new. He's never done this without Pete Carroll. And that's not to say he's not going to be great at it. He may be. But what we don't know yet is how much of the decision-making process before was in John's camp, court, and how much of it was in Pete's. And we're learning that.
And, Mike, before we wrap up here, I do want to touch on the Mariners real quick because we are now closing in on 2 weeks before opening day.
Fewer than two weeks.
Yeah, a little less than it. And you were down in Peoria. I want to know sort of what our outlook for the team is, what you saw while you were down there. I feel like a lot of us Mariners fans have been in this weird spot of feeling that optimism that we always feel in the springtime, feeling like the team didn't do quite enough, but they filled some of those holes. What are you feeling about the team at this
point? I have no idea. I don't know, man. I give up. Honestly, on the on this topic, I am ready to punt. Last year, I really felt like they had made some of the decisions to get themselves over the top, but more importantly, that the young players, the nucleus, were going to grow in such a way that it was going to take them farther than they'd been before. It didn't work. Obviously, it was a it wasn't a total mess, but the prediction was wrong. People seem to have this narrative about last year that the Mariners went like 60 and 102. They didn't. They won 88 games, whatever it was, and missed the playoffs by one or two. I mean, like, they were a good team. They just, weren't quite as good as they needed to be last year. Have the moves they've made pushed them over the top? Look, I think they're of roughly similar talent to what they were last year. Maybe slightly better, maybe slightly worse. There's a lot of injury questions. But if Julio has a better year than he did last year, they'll be great. If Ty France had a better year than he did last year, they'll be great. If one or two of the new guys plays better than a few of the guys did last year that they brought in, they'll be in great shape. They have one of the best pitching staffs in baseball and one of the better bullpens, hopefully, in baseball if they can stay healthy. If they can do that, they should be in good shape. Are they going to win 102 games? Probably not. Can they win more than 88? Absolutely possible. So we'll see.
Well, that's a good time of year. I see you're wearing shorts. I almost broke them out today. The weather is great. That makes me think baseball. I think we're all getting excited that we're pulling out of the rain and kind of looking forward to the spring. And again, Mike, thank you for stopping by.
Absolutely.
Hit him straight today.
Big day for you today. Yeah. Driving the ship here. You're doing great.
Well, right now, I don't think we're on the rocks.
No.
Yet.
Not yet.
Because David is there, but we're doing okay. That's Mike Salt, our great friend from Seattle's 710 Seattle Sports, bringing us up to date on where we are with the Seahawks and Mariners. At 6:35.
Northwest corner is Washington, an evergreen playground blessed by an unusual.
Let's just say I'm a little bummed out that our producer David took the Cairo 7 liner. I was really wanting to say that they got me.
I had some good stuff.
I know.
Some good, I was going to say.
And then I walked all over your lead. Yeah, this is Chris Sullivan.
I saw my chance and I took it.
You took it. Okay. This is Chris filling in for Dave today. And of course, our good friend, resident historian Felix Bonnell here joins us every Friday for All Over the Map. Quick look at those stories behind the local places and things. This week, nothing says I heart the lilac city quite like the music and special songs created 50 years ago for Expo 74, which of course was in Spokane.
Yeah, and I don't want to waste any time with irritating context. We're in the 50th anniversary year for the World's Fair Expo 74, held at what's now Riverfront Park in Spokane. With help from my friend Liz Wood and by digging into my own collection, we put together this little sampler of novelty songs from Expo 74. First up is a man known as the Singing Roofer of Burbank, Washington. Your ancestral homeland, David.
I guess so.
I think it's a suburb of Pasco. It's Don Omen. He's regarded by many as the inventor of construction folk music for his 1996 album, Please Pass the Asphalt. Don Omen died in 2016 at age 70. Here's a taste of his Expo 74 train song.
Well, hey there, ticket man. Will you tell me if you can what it would cost me to go to Spokane? Would you give me a one-way there? Because I'm going up to that fair. I'm going to leave all my troubles at home. Oh, it's the World's Fair. All kinds of people there. I can't imagine all the fun I'm going to have. Well, I'll see mankind's...
Everyone who's singing along in your car, be careful if you know the lyrics. I want you to pay attention to the roadway, of course. Now, the next song was used in a promotional film for the fair, which was produced in San Francisco. The artist and title are unknown, but I call it Spokane Rhythm. Sounds a little John Denverish or maybe B.J. Thomas-ish to me. Is unknown. I would love to figure out who did that song and get a better quality
really
recording
Denver-y.
Of it. Yeah, and I'd love to hear Don Omen's cover of it too, by the way.
Figure out who did it and have them jailed.
Now, 1974, of course, was a pretty cheesy era when it came to mainstream entertainment. This next song is by the pride of Menominee, Wisconsin, Bob Bellows. Regarded by many to be among the worst songs from Expo 74. Here's Bob Bellows with, everybody say it with me, Yes You Can in Spokane.
You can do Santa Fe. Just get nervous and run away. But you can, yes you can, Spokane.
Whisper's a good touch.
Think brown in old St. Louis. The moment you look like you wanted to. But you can, yes you can, Spokane, Spokane.
I found an article from a paper in 1975 where a store in Spokane still had like 100 of these records they'd bought from Bob Bellows. They weren't able to sell. They wondered if he would come back and buy them back.
Well, maybe you could send it to CBS because then people will stop mispronouncing Spokane during the tournament.
There you go.
Spokane.
Now, I like to think of this next artist as the female Bob Bellows. This is Carol J with the Al Russ Orchestra of Cleveland, Ohio, for some reason, with their version of Spokane Calling.
I hear Spokane calling me. Calling me back through my memory, touching my heart with a picture album beside me.
Driving down Riverside, the windows down, the top down, whatever, you know, cranking that up on the radio. Now, we saved the very best for last. This final selection should get your toes a-tapping, get your Friday off to a real Spokane kind of start. This is the late Dale Francis Miller of Clark Fork, Idaho, with the aptly titled Expo 74. We'll play it right from the top and let us take it out. Happy 50th birthday, Expo 74.
We've torn down the old part of the city. The world will be on display on the Spokane River shore. The Lilac City's dressing up like a pretty teenage girl, getting ready for the World's Fair. 74. Spokane will show the world how we're cleaning up the land. Pure water and fresh air from sea to sea. We're trying to make the land a better place for all to live. We'll teach the world about ecology.
All right, thank you so much, Felix, our resident historian. I look forward to you writing about my triumphant start at the desk today. In 50 years, they'll talk about what was Cairo Radio thinking?
As a Spokaneite, I don't remember any of these songs.
That's why I'm here, Tom.
And I appreciate you filling me in on that. I applied for a job as a pedicab driver during Expo 74. I didn't get the job, but
you landed on your feet.
And that's why you chose radio instead. Why in the road?
I'm an utter failure. I'll go into radio.
All right. Well, we'll check the traffic conditions coming up next. You're listening to Seattle's Morning News.
If you're looking for something to do on this beautiful weekend in the Pacific Northwest, Cairo News Radio's Paul Holden has got you covered.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, what? It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, what? The sun is out, temperatures are up, a real good weekend is shaping up in the region. Mopop is celebrating a new exhibit called Massive, the Power of Pop Culture. There will be over 80 artifacts on display, as well as interactive features from a wide range of pop culture history. The museum is throwing a party for the exhibit tonight at 6. There's going to be lots of live music, a K-pop dance-along, panels, and more. Check out Mopop's website for tickets. If you're looking to bring some freshness to your dishes, there's an edible plant sale this weekend. Saturday at the Rainier Beach Urban Farm and Wetlands, you can find locally grown edible plants, herbs, veggies, and fruits. The sale runs from 9 to 3. The home opener for the Seattle Reign is Sunday, and tickets are on sale now. A new era for the Reign will begin as the club takes on the Washington Spirit. You can catch all the action at Lumen Field. Sunday is St. Patrick's Day, and there are plenty of ways to celebrate. On Saturday at the Seattle Center, Irish Festival Seattle begins. Cairo News Radio's Chris Martin gives us the details.
Over 800,000 Washingtonians claim Irish as their primary heritage, and St. Patrick's Day has been celebrated here since the 1800s. This Saturday and Sunday, head down to the Space Needle if you want to get a taste of what it means to be Irish. There will be step dancing, traditional and contemporary Irish bands, Irish films and art, and even genealogy workshops. Things kick off Saturday from noon to 6 p.m. and continue on St. Patrick's Day from 10 a.m. to 6. It's family-friendly and free. Chris Martin, Cairo News Radio.
Also on Saturday, the 53rd annual St. Patrick's Day Parade will march through the streets of downtown. Things get started at 4th and James around 12:30 Saturday afternoon. It'll lead you right to the Irish Festival. The St. Patrick's Day celebrations continue on the actual holiday on Sunday. There's the St. Patrick's Day Dash at the Seattle Center starting at 9. You can celebrate with a Guinness at the finish line for the post-race party. At Connor Byrne, there's 12 hours of music going on to celebrate. You can get tickets for the early set, 12 to 5, or if you're more of a night owl, you can go from 5 to close. There are tons of bar crawls and bar specials going on this weekend. If you have a favorite spot, I highly suggest looking for deals online. At the end of the day, the forecast is looking awesome for this weekend, so get out to your favorite beach, park, or wherever outside and soak up some sun. If you know of something cool going on in the region, let me know at pholden@bonneville.com and check out the full rundown at mynorthwest.com. Paul Holden, Cairo News Radio.
Welcome back to Seattle's Morning News. And now joining us, CBS Chief Foreign Affairs Correspondent, moderator of Face the Nation, Margaret Brennan. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning.
Well, I want to start off this week with the TikTok debate on Capitol Hill that received a lot of attention. Kind of bring us up to speed on your assessment on the potential ban and what's happening with that.
Well, we know that there is panic on the part of many TikTok users and its executives that there is suddenly momentum to one of the bills that has been before Congress and this week just passed the House with overwhelming support. That means it has to still go to the Senate, where it will be considered before it would ever go to the president's desk. So we are a while out from TikTok actually being restricted here by U.S. law. But the bill that is being considered would force a divestment. That means it would force the Chinese owners to sell it, not shut it down, but to sell it to an American owner. And we already are seeing some potential investors come forward, including former Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, who said he'd love to put a group of buyers together and put this under U.S. ownership. Part of this gets at the fact that social media is sort of an ungoverned space in many ways. While news organizations, major news organizations, cannot be owned under U.S. law by a foreign government, there aren't really those restrictions at all for social media. And with younger people, 170 million of them using TikTok as a news and information source, there are risks, not just on data gathering, but on the targeted algorithms being used to put information or misinformation in front of American users.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a 22-year-old. He uses TikTok a little bit, maybe not as much as those maybe a little younger than him. Do you think most people realize, you know, what kind of data is actually mined from companies like TikTok?
No, and it's interesting to say anecdotally, having talked to users who are very familiar with this debate, they go, oh, well, you know, my stuff's getting stolen anywhere anyway. You know, people often downplay this. What U.S. lawmakers are saying is not just that your information may be stolen, but that you may be targeted based on that information in terms of the algorithms pushed forward towards you, but also that you may not be conscious of what is being put in front of you in terms of the influence. And that is something that lawmakers, at least Senator Mark Warner, the lead on the Senate Intelligence Committee, has raised concerns about, and also on misinformation and disinformation. Just this week, you had the intel chiefs testify before the Senate and the House about this and say that this is a concern, and that you could see some of these false narratives being pushed around, in particular, the upcoming U.S. election.
And I know you, the funding packages in Congress also front and center. Let's talk about Israel, Hamas, the war there first. I see one of your guests this weekend, Maryland Senator Chris Van Hollen, caught a lot of heat, or is still catching heat, for some of his statements this week. Bring us up to speed on what's happening there.
That's right. Well, Senator Chris Van Hollen of Maryland has been at the forefront of pushing for consideration on humanitarian grounds of what is happening in Gaza, and really strongly pushing back and highlighting what have been Israeli drone strikes on aid convoys going into Gaza, calling out Israel as not helping, but rather standing in the way of humanitarian aid deliveries, pointing to protests that have been allowed of Israelis blocking convoys, also difficulty at the gates. He's been on my program talking about, going to the gate where through land major convoys are supposed to pass, and seeing all sorts of things being restricted from entry, including things required for surgeries and medical supplies. He's going to talk to us about what seems to be this growing group of Senate Democrats who are objecting to what they say are very obvious violations of U.S. law, foreign assistance law, humanitarian law, and the law of armed conflict. And so that's the question. Are there consequences for violating U.S. law when you are U.S. ally and the largest recipient of U.S. military aid in the world? That's the debate. And some would say when it comes to Israel, that should be put aside and it should be treated differently because of the war it's waging right now and the fact that Hamas, this brutal terror organization, is hiding among civilians. So this is an important conversation we're going to have with him. We also have the head of UNICEF, which is trying to help the children in the middle of this conflict zone. And we know the intel chiefs testified before Congress this week that there is a generational impact on terror recruitment as a result of what's happening in Gaza. And through the U.S. national security lens, this is a risk to the United States of America. We want to talk about that, but also just the premise of, I think everyone can agree, kids don't deserve to be made victims, whether it's Gaza, whether it's Haiti, where they are really being starved as a result of the gang violence there. And we also want to talk about the conflict in Sudan with her.
And also we have the Ukraine funding package to talk about. I see just earlier this morning another Russian strike in Odessa killed more than a dozen. Bring us up to speed on where we are on the funding package there.
We're going to have Mike Pence, the former vice president, with us. And we want to press him on what's happening within his Republican Party on this standing in the way, some Republicans standing in the way of Ukraine aid, wanting to attach strings to that, wanting to change how it's structured. The problem is that they are so close to running out of ammunition and at a point on the battlefield where it's hugely consequential, U.S. intelligence argues, as the CIA director did just this past week on the record, that it is going to immediately impact their ability to survive and to fight, and that in order to defeat Russia, they need U.S. help. Also, this $60 billion package that passed the Senate but is stuck in the House would refill U.S. weapons stockpiles, America's own weapons for American use that have been drawn down because weapons have been sent to allies. So there is an immediate acknowledgement that this is something that needs to be dealt with, but there's no forward plan. Just yesterday, the Speaker of the House said maybe he'll separate out Ukraine aid and Israel aid, but he gave no date for when this would be delivered. And at this point, it looks like it wouldn't be considered until end of March at earliest.
And just quickly, Margaret, a little fun stuff to end the week. I know Senator Bernie Sanders out. 32-hour work week sounds pretty good. I used to work 410s back in my early days in radio. What kind of attention is that getting?
I think, this is something, interestingly, that the United Auto Workers asked for during their negotiations with the big three. They didn't get it. But it is something that you are seeing from the labor movement, from Bernie Sanders, who is, as you know, very progressive and pro-worker, arguing that as there is a shift towards automation, that workers should benefit from a reduction in human hours worked if machines are going to be taking things on. Of course, more broadly, some are saying, look, you may be utterly replaced by that machine. Be careful what you wish for here. But it's a debate, and we'll see. I can't imagine working 32 hours. I don't even know that I work as little as 40 hours.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Right? All of us in this news business.
60, 65, whatever. You probably a lot more.
Yeah, it's 24 hours for a lot of us. So it sounds far off, but it is something that I think a lot of people who particularly do manual labor would like to see.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'll let you go, Margaret, again. Happy St. Patrick's Day. I know your show is coming up on
St. Patrick's.
Yeah, Sullivan to a Brennan. Appreciate it. That's CBS Foreign Affairs correspondent and moderator of Face the Nation, Margaret Brennan. Thank you so much.
Time now for your daily dose of kindness brought to you by Heritage Homecraft. Some students' unexpected act of kindness bringing comfort to their teacher who lost her son a year ago. Mindy Cook teaches music and choir at a middle school in North Carolina. A year ago, she lost her son, and her students didn't want that tragic milestone to pass unnoticed, so they led her into the school's gym where they had decorated a path with glow sticks spelling out her son's name and then serenaded her with a heartfelt song. That gesture brought Mindy to tears and is now touching the hearts of people across social media, thousands offering their own messages of support. That's your Daily Dose of Kindness.
All right, time for our good friend G. Scott coming in from the G and Ursula Show. I was expecting fresh Friday look out of you.
Yeah.
You're kind of down a little casual Friday.
Yeah.
But you're wearing the green, baby.
I'm not so.
Embracing your Irish heritage.
Yes, I am. My 20 plus percent of being Irish that I discovered. I know that St. Patty's Day is on Sunday, but today's Friday, last business day of the week. Your boy had to go ahead and wear the green.
I like it.
And so I'll just say this. I don't feel that great right now. I don't feel I have the swag on me right now. This is not the dress code. I had a different hat on with the four-leaf clover on there. I had to take that off. I had to go get a Scully. You know what I'm saying?
I'm with you.
Had to give me a little bit of swag, but yeah.
If you want a little bit of swag, you know, coming from a guy who's not.
Why don't you have?
Because I saved my green for the actual day. I thought about it. I could have brought it because I've got green shoes. I've got green shorts. Yeah. I mean, I could have gone full on leprechaun, but I saved that for Sunday. And if you trust me, for me, if you want a little more swag, you got to take something out of the University of Oregon's locker room. You need to go Super Kelly green to really bring that swag if you want to. I know that's a sore spot with the Ohio State, but that's where you want to go. But enough about that. Let's talk Seahawks. I know you got some thoughts on their new backup quarterback, Sam Howell, coming in yesterday.
Yeah.
So tell me, what's your thought there?
Love it.
Oh.
Absolutely love it. There's been a theme I've been having all week. The internet sometimes will lie to you. And what I mean by that is if the masses say one thing, folks get on there and they tend to believe it. So there are those who believe, oh my goodness, who's this Sam Howell guy? Well, I'll tell you who he is. He's a 23-year-old with 18 starts already in the National Football League, who almost beat the Seahawks here at home when he threw for 3 touchdowns and 316 or 18 yards. It took Geno Smith having a career day throwing for 369 yards in that game. And you mean to tell me that the Seahawks got that player and only have to pay less than $4 million for the next 2 years on his contract? Sign me up.
Sounds like a perfect guy to sit behind Geno, a young guy that can learn for his decision making and maybe be the guy. Maybe. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's a great move.
What worried me the most was the draft capital being given up. Not necessarily the amount of draft capital, but the fact that the Seahawks have such limited draft capital already, and now they've traded away one of their third-round picks. So now they've got one third-round pick, a first-round, and no second-round pick.
Yeah, let me just tell you something. That whole draft capital and all that kind of stuff, it sounds good. Because back in the day, the Kansas City Chiefs traded up a bunch of picks so they can go get Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
Hey, in life, if you want that person, if you want to date that person, if you want to marry that person, you do what you got to do. Nobody talks about the sacrifices or the quote-unquote draft capital that you had gone through. Let me tell you another thing about Sam Howell. KJ Wright and I, before the Seahawks played the Commanders, we were watching film. And one of the things I'm going to miss about KJ next season is he's going to be one of the best coaches out here. I'm telling you right now. KJ loves this game. And what I mean by that is what makes KJ special is his ability to make football just in simple layman's terms, football 101. And we're watching film on Sam Howell, what he was doing. And KJ's like, man, this dude is good. I mean, real good. But you come to find out, he played at the University of North Carolina. Sully started as a true freshman. He started as a true freshman at North Carolina, right? He was there playing for Mac Brown. One last point that I'll make. Where was Sam Howell just now? Oh, he was with the Commanders. How did that go? How did Ron Rivera, how did that work? Oh, he got fired and let go. How about Ron Bieniemy, Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator? He didn't get brought back. My son is friends with Jahan Dotson, who's one of their good wide receivers on the team. I'm not going to quote him, but I'm going to paraphrase. It wasn't good out there. So Sam Howell was able to do that over there. What's going to happen when he gets into a better organization? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I see nothing but upside. I know as we talked to Mike Salk earlier, you know, just quickly, you know, sure, he threw some interceptions, made some questionable decisions, but he's a young kid. He threw a bunch of, you know,
the majority,
potential there.
The majority of last season, he was the yards leader amongst
playing
all quarterbacks.
For that team with that offense. Ugh.
Hey, he's that 23-year-old young man with good energy. Right,
like
there's
that.
A lot can be said about that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's got a good credit score.
so that means he might be able to find some place to rent in Seattle. Maybe find some place to rent.
First and last month's rent, baby.
And then one more thing, one more shout out too, because you know you guys know my wife is Korean and everything. You know he's a quarter Korean. His grandparents and him are Korean. Yes, yeah, so
there we go.
Shout out to the Korean community.
It's
you know
all
what
coming
mean?
Together. All right. St. Patrick's Day. I got to do some corned beef later for you. See what you think of that.
Oh yeah,
I know you're from Chicago.
Bread.
That's you know kind of oh yeah. I'm with you. All right, that's G. Scott coming up with G. and Ursula later on. I can't wait to hear what the show coming up in about an hour here on Cairo News Radio. At 8:47 on this Friday morning, Sully filling in for Dave Ross and Colleen O'Brien today. And, of course, 8:47 on Seattle's Morning News means it's Mickey time.
Yeah.
Of course, it's always Mickey time whenever she walks into a room, so that makes it perfect. But, yeah, you've been working on a story at the transportation desk about what's going on with Hyundais, right? Everybody knows that they've been so super easy to steal. I mean, I may not know anything about stealing a Hyundai, but I figure I could probably go in and just take one based by the news I've heard about it. So what's going on in Bellevue this weekend to maybe kind of get ahead of that?
Well, it's not just Bellevue. It's also Tacoma as well. So Bellevue's Factoria Mall and the Tacoma Dome this entire weekend, which it kicks off today. Bellevue Police, Seth Tyler, went ahead and said, hey, listen, we've got this event that we're doing with Hyundai engineers, or I guess Hyundai representatives, where they're going to go and they're going to offer these software updates to make it harder to steal Hyundais.
So what exactly do we have to, because I mean, I don't own a Hyundai, and I know I'm one of the old, you know, old guys shaking my fist at the cloud. I'd rather have an old farm truck that, you know, that rolls down the windows. It doesn't have any electronics on it.
You still put your
so
key in the ignition and turn it on.
And things. I mean, what? How easy? I mean, I thought there was like a software patch or some kind of something, but what is different here that might help people?
Well, what's different here is that it's going to make it a lot more difficult for the Kia boys to steal these Hyundais that they have made popular on TikTok. I mean, they basically put in the electrical charger or their cell phone chargers into the ignition and were able to turn the car on and then drive off with them. And so now this software update is going to hopefully prevent that from happening. So it's going to be a lot harder for this TikTok trend to continue.
Now, I notice also one thing we've noticed, too, is that with a few arrests from some of the folks that are, we believe, associated with the Kia boys, that some of the numbers have seemed to have gone way down, which means like that might have been one of the more prolific groups of people. But it's still happening, though.
Well, listen, I spoke to Bellevue Police Seth Tyler, and he says that that the theft in Bellevue has gone up 50%.
Hyundai owners can come in. It takes about 20 minutes. They'll get a free software upgrade that will make their car harder to steal. They may also be eligible for an ignition upgrade that'll make that ignition harder to break into.
Yeah. So he says that any car owner can actually stop by for a free steering wheel lock as well. Because when I asked him, when I spoke to him, okay. I'm like, but what about Kia drivers? Because I drive a Kia. I'm like, I feel left out here. I want my update.
Or what about, I need a door lock for my Honda, my Toyota, or my whatever, my Ford. It seems like, because car theft, I mean, it's always been something around not just our region, but what I heard earlier this week, what somebody said there was, 58 stolen cars in one, was that Federal Way in one week one or something week, like,
wasn't it one weekend or something like that?
Wow, it's just so, and then they're being used in other crimes. Mm-hmm. And so when you get your car back, it's not just stolen, it's probably trashed and or used in a robbery or something that, you're not going to get your car back. It's
right.
Just,
and hopefully the ripple effect of this is not only obviously less cars stolen, but less smash and grabs, which we have been seeing a ton of at, pot shops and at smoke shops and all these small businesses that have a lot of cash in house being broken into specifically by these, cars that have been stolen.
Absolutely. And so, we've got Bellevue's Victoria Mall. You're not going to miss it. Okay. And then you've got Tacoma Dome, and it's happening today, tomorrow and Sunday. But again, any car owner can stop by for that free steering wheel lock. Okay. And another thing that Tyler was talking about was, these types of events here in the Puget Sound region will help bring the cost of insurances down if it becomes effective. Because one of the reasons why car insurance costs so much is because of the heavy theft, is because the Kia boys are able to steal these cars. So if you have or drive a Hyundai, you need to go to one of these events, get the software update, so that way it'll make it a lot harder for, some of these teen boys, maybe some girls, to steal your vehicle.
Well, let's not forget the pajama mob.
I think
our criminals these days are getting younger and equal opportunity. Doesn't really matter your gender.
Burns me up. I talk to my kids about this whenever I hear that a teen has committed or allegedly committed a crime, and I sit down with my kids and I'm like, this is why we don't do this. And what I love is that my kids are like, you raised me, Mom. I would never do something like that.
Well,
like, that's right. Put the fear. No,
so again, it's to the Tacoma Dome,
right,
and
we're
the Victoria
Tacoma
Mall.
Dome, Bellevue Victoria Mall. And there is going to be that police presence that's going to be on staff, and they're going to be there to help, talk about how you can keep your car secure. And of course, anybody who owns any type of vehicle can stop by for that free steering wheel lock until they run out.
I would say get there early, because whenever we've had these wheel lock situations done around the region, they've run out pretty quickly, because it's a great deterrent. Everybody should have one of those in their car.
And the story is on mynorthwest.com. Click on traffic and then Mickey Gomez, and you'll find it right there.
All right. Well, that's Mickey talking car theft.
I'm Dave Ross.
And I'm Colleen O'Brien. Thanks for listening to Seattle's Morning News.
You can hear us live every morning on 97.3 FM, or subscribe to this podcast and you'll never miss the show.